Dr. Alan Steinman. He leads the team at the Annis Water Resources Institute and does a fine job in between his running and more, Dr. Steinman. Hey, you joined in studio. Is there a special occasion?
Oh, just a few meetings downtown, so happy to be here, Shelley.
That's what executive directors do, you meet.
Hopefully we do some stuff beyond that.
Meet and lead in good things you do. Annis Water Resources Institute, what do you do?
Oh, well, we protect, enhance, and preserve and integrate research, education, and teaching for the Great Lakes.
We joked before our mics went on, this has kind of been a lakeshore morning for us. So I'm glad that you're involved, too, because that's where you're located.
Indeed, in the beautiful downtown Muskegon on the shores of Muskegon Lake.
And giving back, let's start with some conversation. You have the summer interns ready to go to work.
That's right. Every summer we bring in interns. We bring in a suite from Grand Valley, the undergraduates who want to spend some time out with us and earn some money and get some hands-on experience. But in addition, we have had for the last 3 years a National Science Foundation-funded program called the REU, or Research Experiences for Undergraduates, with a focus on quantitative skills in ecology and environment. And so this QUEST, which is the acronym we use, brings in students that are underrepresented and underprivileged around the biological and ecological sciences. So this year we have 10 that are coming in June. They come from all over the country. They come from tribes. They come from inner cities. We have them coming in from like 7 different states this year, as far away as Washington State. And they represent a diversity of cultures as well. So it's really a fantastic experience for them. They get that hands-on learning experience. They learn about the Great Lakes, which most of them have never seen before. In addition, it provides that kind of cultural diversity here to the Institute in Muskegon. So it's really reciprocal in that respect.
And did you say 10 of those?
That's correct. So we'll have 15 interns this year, summer interns. So the Institute is abuzz with activity. And then, of course, when you add to that the buses that come in with the students from K through 12 to go on the Jackson and the Angus, things get very, very interesting.
Well, sometimes summer might be your best time to do that.
Well, it's certainly better to be on the Great Lakes in the summer than it is in November.
Dr. Steinman, let's move on to that discussion of a reintroduction. What, of Arctic grayling?
Indeed. Arctic grayling is a great fish. It used to be here in Michigan, but it was extirpated due to overfishing and due to pollution in the waterways. And the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, in conjunction with the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians, is interested in trying to reintroduce the Arctic grayling to Michigan, which would be very exciting for our anglers in this area. It's always nice to try and rewild, so to speak, our wildlife here, fish and wildlife in the Great Lakes. So the idea is, there were historically only two populations of Arctic grayling in the lower 48 states, in Montana and here in Michigan. Montana still has a small population, and the goal would be to use that population in Montana to repopulate here in Michigan. And the way that the DNR has proposed to do this is to use these in-stream incubators. And basically, we would take these eggs from the grayling, fertilized eggs, and put them in these incubators. Then the flow from the stream would go through there and give them a chance to actually to germinate and have these fry, the small fish, go. And by doing it right in stream, we basically imprint them with the chemical signature from that stream. So when they go to spawn after they mature and come back, they go back to that same site. Now, unfortunately, the grayling eggs are not yet available here in Michigan. So we're proposing to use trout to do this. And this is being done with the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians up in the Manistee River and 3 tributaries with our fisheries biologist, Dr. Carl Reitz, at the Annis Water Resources Institute. So it's very exciting.
Arctic grayling. What do they look like?
Well, they're kind of trout-like, and they're great fishing, and it'll be very exciting. I think, you know, more than just the recreational interest associated with them, I think there's a cultural and iconic interest in trying to return some of these species that really representative of historic Michigan.
That's great. Again, Dr. Alan Steinman with us, Executive Director, Annis Water Resources Institute, in studio. Let's talk about water levels. How do we fare?
Well, depends on whether you like them low or high, but they're on their way up. They have been high for a little while, which is, I'm getting a lot of questions about this, because as you recall, of course, it was a mild winter We didn't have a lot of ice. We had some ice, but we didn't have a lot of ice. So in theory, we should have more evaporation, and the water level should be going down instead of going up. But the reality is we've had a lot of rain over this past winter and a lot of precipitation. In fact, in 2017, in the 4 months we've had so far, 4.5 months, we're about 4 inches above average. And when you think about the watershed of Lake Michigan, not just the lake surface area itself, but the amount of drainage that comes from Michigan, from Wisconsin, from Indiana, from Illinois, it about doubles the area of the lake itself. So 4 inches above average translates into about 8 inches on the lake once it all runs off into the lake. And that's what they're predicting this summer, about 8 inches above average. Nowhere near historic highs. It should be great for boating. There shouldn't be any problems with bottoming out, but there shouldn't be any erosion issues on the shoreline either if homeowners are concerned. But some people want to have lower water levels. They want to have more beach. And so it's always a balancing act, right? And you pretty much know you're doing well when everybody's equally pissed off at you.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Hey, just a silly question. How do you take the water level? Where do you put your ruler?
Your stage? Well, the national federal government, NOAA, does this, and they do it at several different locations around the Great Lakes because the Great Lakes are still rebounding from the glaciers receding 12,000 years ago. The technical term is isostatic glacial rebound. It's a really fancy jargon, but basically it means that as the glaciers recede, obviously the southern parts of the Great Lakes down near Chicago, right, they've had more time for that glacier to reach. Think about getting up off of a couch, how the couch basically rebounds, and that's what we're seeing here. So there's a tilt in the Great Lakes in terms of, you know, where things are going. And so we want to take multiple measurements and account for that glacial rebound.
Last on our list, March for Science. That happened, correct?
It did. On April 22nd, Earth Day. Not a coincidence. And there we had a march here in Grand Rapids, which was great. I participated in that. But the big one was in D.C., of course. And I'm proud to say that one of our faculty members at the Institute, Charlene Partridge, our molecular ecologist, was actually selected by NOAA's Cooperative Institute for Limnology and Ecosystems Research in Ann Arbor to be one of the representatives from the Great Lakes. And so as part of that, she was charged with helping to promote the March for Science and talk about its value, humanize science, basically, talk about what its values are. And I think probably, in my opinion, having walked through there and felt really energized, yeah. The best thing about that march was that it was a positive march. It was for something.
I was going to say that wasn't, I mean, I don't want to use the word protest, but it wasn't a protest, right?
No, it wasn't. I mean, there's still some placards, of course, that people, you know, take the opportunity to do what they're going to do. But by and large, the vast majority of people there were for science and recognizing its value in society and evidence-based science, where we use data, we use empirical information to make decisions. It's not the only thing that influences our decisions. I think we're all pragmatic about that, and we recognize politics and economics and socioeconomic issues will play a role in these decisions. But don't ignore the science. One of the leading lights for water resource policy in this nation and worldwide is a guy named Peter Glick. He's out in California in Berkeley. And he has a great quote that I like to use frequently. He goes, "It's hard enough to make good policy with good science. It's really hard with bad science." So let's use good science and let's not denigrate it and let's not ignore it. It plays a role and we should value it. I think that's great.
Will that be an annual event?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, we'll look on the list and see, if we can answer that before we meet again in a couple months. Anything else you would like to share?
No, I think we're good.
You've got a meeting. All right, Dr. Alan Steinman, how do we find out more information about the Institute?
You
and
can go to our website at www.gvsu.edu/WRI. You can Google AWRI, but the first thing that comes up is the Australian Wine Research Institute. So you need to get past that and get to us. But please come visit us, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have, and you can find us on Facebook as well.
Great. Talk again. Take care.